Hey, good evening. This is W2TTT. My name is Gordon, and this is the TechNet. Call sign of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association is K2BAR, and the TechNet is run for the pleasure of all amateur radio operators within the sound of my voice who are licensed to transmit the 2-meter band. We hope that you enjoy ham radio, and we hope to help you enjoy it some more. We have many wonderful aspects of the hobby, and it's one of those wonderful hobbies where it can also be of service to others. So there's always a technical subject to be had related to ham radio. So we hope that you will come with a question of any sort, because by definition, if it's related to ham radio, electronics, and their application, use, whatever, it's certainly technical by definition, and so you're welcome to bring up the subject. Let us be the judge as to whether or not it's technical enough, because pretty much they all will meet the muster, I assure you. Anyway, this is W2TTT. We'll break. That is held every Thursday night on 14679. The repeater of, or a repeater of, the Bergen County FM Association, our brother club. We encourage you to support them with your membership as well as the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, though you need not be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association in order to participate in this net, or the BCFMA for that matter. Again, we look forward to your participation first. The rest somewhat follows naturally if it suits you. In any case, the way we log into this net is a little different than others. We check in by giving your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment. We'd like to know whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above, as we always like to say, so that we have some idea as to what that is. We take that roll, and then we'll go through and start picking off questions, comments, confusions, etc. So, on that happy note, let us begin. Station says call signs begin with Alpha. Please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment for the net. Okay, nothing heard. No problem. Alrighty, how about stations whose call signs begin with Kilo? Let's start with you guys this week. This is K2BAR, your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment.
This is KO2OK. Bennett. No questions, no comments.
KC2SGF, Rachel. No questions, no comments.
KC2PYB, no questions, no comments.
KA2BDU, Helmut, and I do have a question.
Rapid fire check-in I've had in a while. All right, let's see. To be clear, KO2OK, KC2SGF, KC2PYB, all with no questions or comments. K2ZO and K2AMI, I got you both, but I don't know what you have. Jim, you first. Do you have a question or comment for the net?
Not at this time, although I know there's some coming up, which I'll comment on.
Okie doke. And Tony, K2AMI, K2BAR, you have a question or comment, or none of the above for the net?
Two questions, but one comment.
Comments so noted. Alrighty, and Helmut, I have you have it with a question. We'll get you first, actually, when we roll to it. Any other kilos, please call K2BAR with your questions, comments, confusions, your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have questions, comments, or confusions, or none of the above.
KF2ID, Ben, no questions, no comment. I'm just calling again because I don't know if you picked me up the last time.
Okay, no, Ben, I did not hear you, and good evening to you. So you have no questions, no comments. Does that mean you might have confusions? I'm just kidding, I'm just Boston. Okay, very good. Nice to hear you in there as well. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR. Questions, or were there questions, comments, or none of the above?
KC2
C2SAV. Al, and no questions, no comments.
Dead, no confusions. Very good, Al. Questions, no questions, comments, confusions. That line came from my high school physics teacher, Father David White, who still teaches physics. God bless him. Alrighty. Let's see, any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR. Okay, let's get to the whiskey stations. Whiskey stations, questions, your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above.
DC2SQP Stewart, no questions, no comments.
This is W2JEK, no questions.
Okay. Stuart, I thought I heard you in there earlier. It turned out to be my son, KC2SQV. That's pretty funny. We had a nice chat earlier. And Donna, have you as well? Any other whiskey stations, please call K2BAR with your questions, comments, or none of the above.
This is KC2PDQ.
The audio is a little low. The signal is a little egg frying. KC2, is it PDQ?
KC2PDV.
PDV, good evening. Your name?
My name is Rommel.
Oh, Ron, how are you? I know who you are. Very good. KC2 Papa Delta Victor, I have. I think I know who you are. You have a Yaso Handy Talkie, is that right?
I have a mobile that I stationed in my house.
Who you are, it's a different Ron, but yes, okay. You're in Fairlawn. Very good, Ron. Very good, good hearing you. Alrighty, anybody else? Any and all call signs, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question, comment, or none of the above.
This is N2OEL with one multi-part question.
Well, no problem. Anybody else? Well, Ned has checked in, KO2OK, KC2SGF, KC2PYB, K20, K2EY, KA2BDU. KF2IV, oh man, long day. KC2SAV, KC2SQP, W2JEK, KC2PDV, and N2OEL. Okay, our first question of the evening is from Helmut. Go ahead, K2BDU, K2BAR.
KA2BDU. Thank you, Gordon. I have a question on the J2VX7R. How do you turn on the speaker microphone? Over.
Okay, I had one in 2004 and 2005. So it's a real stretch. Let me see if there's someone on frequency who has one right now. Does anybody have a Yaesu Handy Talkie of relatively recent vintage? You know, VX1, VX3, VX5, VX6, 7. Call, you go into the menu, and on the menu options, there will be one that will, I think it's somewhat like Kenwood's in that the speaker mic jack is also the data mic, is the data jack and also the packing interface and a few other things. So I think that's where you go. You go into the menus, and from there you'll find one of the choices to be related to microphone or control, something like that, or PC or something like that.
Okay, maybe I have a bad speaker microphone. I tried that already. I went through the instructions, and that doesn't seem to work. But thanks anyhow, Vaughn. Back to Ned.
I have the water-resistant microphone for that radio. I have one kicking around here, so if you want, Helmut, we can get together and I could arrange to lend it to you and you could test out that theory and see if it's a problem.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, pretty good. And let's see, what else?
Oh, man. All right, next question. Before we go to the next question, let me go to see if we have any other further check-ins. This is K2BAR. Anybody else? To OEL, your multi-part question, sir. K2BAR.
Okay, I have a DC motor on my bicycle. It's got permanent magnets inside. Question. As far as I can tell from the literature, it uses a constant frequency pulse with modulation. Basically, the pulses get wider the more power you need, until finally it's just straight through. It has reasonably fine control. I'm assuming the pulses are probably a square wave, and I know they have a big capacitor on the input and a big capacitor on the output to kind of smooth things out. However, I would like to run 10-meter with my 25-watt HDX10. I'd like to run 2 meters, maybe 440, maybe 220. I got the HDs. No problem. So the first part of the question is, am I going to get a lot of interference? And should I be, when I install the system, should I be doing something up front to minimize the interference, such as running the wires through ferrite chokes or winding them on some toroids, just from the very beginning and get it done with, and the assumption that it'll help keep down the interference. Question number two. If I want to be able to reverse the motor so I can back out of a spot, would it be as easy as putting a double pole, double throw switch and reversing the current to the motor and it would have run in reverse? And question number three, the most interesting one. Going downhill, my wife noticed when she was getting up to 15 miles an hour, with no batteries in the bicycle, she was getting the light that would come on saying she had voltage, and if she went 20 miles an hour, it would turn from yellow to green saying she had more than 36 volts. Imply that the motor is producing electricity. Question is, could I use that as A, a brake, and B, to recharge one of the batteries? And of course there's been some argument that it's really hard to charge 36 volt batteries with a 36 volt motor. And we were thinking maybe, okay, I gotta have a 12 volt battery in there. Maybe I could put some of the juice into the 12 volt battery. Maybe I don't even need that. Maybe I just put it into a big resistor and use it as electromagnetic brake. Would there be any downside? So that's more questions. Back to that. This is SOAL.
Boy, I'm supposed to remember all this. Okay, let me see if I can pick these off. The question of can you use it as a brake, conceptually, yes, I think that would work fine. The motor is coupled to the drivetrain all the time. Even when not powered, it would seem to me that would probably work. Whether or not you can derive power, yes, you can. You'd be very careful. What I would do is actually I'd run through a regulator and charge a 12-volt array, or get one of those little inverters that allows you to do, they call it take 36 volts and gives you 12 or 13 volts all the time. Number three question. Are you going to get interference to your station from something that uses pulse width modulation? In that proximity, in that environment, it's extremely likely, and you can save yourself a lot of aggravation by taking the target radio and placing it next to the bicycle while it's all powered up, and maybe even try it with just a hokey antenna, you know, something like a piece of wire or something, and in a backpack that you're using while you're riding it with an independent battery, something like that, just to get a sense of how it would be. But my guess is, yeah, you're going to get some noise. What questions did I miss? Or do you have yet another follow-on for it?
Sometimes it's hard to reverse out of a spot when you have a tricycle, so I figured, hey, Maybe I can reverse the motor with a double-pole, double-throw switch if I just simply leave everything the same and reverse the current to the motor to, like, back me out of a parking spot, for instance. You think that would be practical?
My question is, why don't they have that built into the system, start, and there may be a safety reason for that. I would call the manufacturer just to make sure there's nothing goofy, that you're not going to fry something else by doing that, you know, something that's wired in the circuit, other than the motor, that all of a sudden you reverse polarized and now you've got a big open fuse, or worse yet, you welded something or fried something.
Designed originally for a bicycle, nobody in their right mind would run their bicycle front wheel backwards under power. However, a tricycle at low speed might be practical.
I think you've got a good idea.
Comment?
But okay, go right ahead, Doc.
Yeah, no, I was just, like, under any kind of a warranty that you would void if you started making modifications. Over.
Oh, in fact, it's the bike motor that I bought a year ago and brought to the Vera meeting. My wife took the bike, said the motor's too heavy to keep pedaling with it, and we eventually took the wheel off and replaced it with the original wheel that came with the bike, and she put several hundred miles on it without the motor. Then I have a motor sitting there. I'm going to go buy a bike, and they say, oh, shoot, what a waste. I just spent $500 on this motor, and what am I doing it? And the tricycle manufacturer said, oh, for $100, we'll take that, and we'll put it right in one of our front hubs for you. But no problem. We'll do it right. And they did. So the motor's there. It's long past warranty. I have all the parts that I took off the other bike, and now I'm just... This bicycle, this tricycle, is so well made, they even have a battery holder underneath the seat. So, everything is fine so far. Darren William.
You know, I can't make it to the half fast, but boy, would I love to see that. I'm wondering if you're going to one day bring that to maybe a power meeting.
Yes, after we work it over in kit night.
I see you want to trick it out with radio equipment. It's already running as a motorized bike, right?
It has the motor on, but we did not install the controller yet. A week ago, Charles, thankfully, took the thumb controller apart so we could see what was inside and check out the wiring. Once we did that, we know what we have and order a real controller. Have you ever imagined riding a bicycle for 20 or 25 miles with your right thumb pressed against the spring-loaded throttle and holds it at the right position for the right speed? Well, your thumb gets really tired. So, with that, you find that for $10, I can buy a Hall Effect twist throttle similar to what on a motorcycle. I could get a half twist or a full twist. So I'm probably going to wind up with a half twist throttle with the LED indicator so you know the voltage or when it starts to get weak. Anything else?
Well, that sounds lovely. And Charles, the one you're referring to, is N3 CRT, I assume?
Yes. He took it apart and managed to get it back together. And it was amazing. There's a Hall Effect transistor inside, runs on 5 volts, and the wires are unshielded and 6 feet long. And there's wires that come into it. One is your ground, and one of the leads of the transistor is to the ground. One lead is your hot, so the voltage-sensing circuit can tell the voltage of the battery without any load because it's directly to the battery. And then the other two go right back to the main circuit board, and the Hall Effect transistor gets 5 volts in, and it puts out 0 to 4 volts, depending on how much you twist the throttle. There's two super magnets in there, very small, about the size of a pea. And as you turn the throttle, the Hall Effect gradually increases its, or decreases its resistance from a very large value down to very low value. I believe it might be equivalent to a 5K potentiometer. The only reason I believe that is because most of the other ones use a 5K potentiometer, and I saw some literature on switching one for the other and back and forth. But it's just the most amazingly simple circuit. The whole speed controller is that one transistor and the three wires come out of it. The whole voltage control circuit is one chip, three LEDs, one that it's on, one that its voltage is good, and one that the voltage is not good. So that's it. It's so simple.
And where do they pass the current through? Is through a big fat pass transistor?
There are six big fat pass transistors in parallel. We took the controller apart to see it. However, I think they're MOSFETs, and I think they're running strictly on or off. I don't believe they're linear. And the reason is, I can run this thing up a hill, at the top of the hill, I get off the bike, feel the thing, and I've just drawn like 20 amps, lots of juice. And you do not, it feels the same as the ambient temperature. There's no real, the heat sink didn't get warm.
That's good. Anybody else have comments?
KF2ID with a couple of comments. It's KF2ID with a couple of comments. Did you read me, Gordon?
Yeah.
Push, then talk.
As far as those pass transistors are concerned, they're definitely not linear. That's the whole idea of a pulse modulation system, is you turn the transistor full on or full off, and not in between, because if you're operating in between, then you're going to be dissipating heat in it. So when they're full on, they're very low impedance, and when they're full off, they obviously full off. And so you vary the width of the pulse, and that's the way you get the various amount of control of the current. Or the average voltage, you control the average voltage, and that ends up controlling the current with the, in combination with the volt, with the motor. As far as using the motor backwards, really see no reason why not. Does the motor have potential on it? Does the motor say plus here, minus here? If it doesn't say it, that's for sure it doesn't make any difference. As far as using the motor as a generator to charge your battery, you probably could do it. The only thing is when you put it across the battery controls the voltage. That is because it's very low impedance. So if you're going down a hill and you suddenly flip it to charge position, the motor will suddenly come to a stall, or not a halt, because it can't halt, but it will stop rather rapidly. So if you're on that bike, because the 12-volt battery has essentially zero impedance, so and the battery, say the motor is running full speed when you do this, you get the 35 volts across the 12 volts, and the motor will generate a big slug of current, and this will not be too good for the motor, too, incidentally. It might magnetize the field strings. So you got to be careful on that, how you do it. It's a dual boost, but you got to be careful. Let me see what else. As far as the noise from the pulse width modulation, I don't think it's going to be a serious problem. You see, you got big capacitors, of course, there. If you're taking power from the same battery to run your out of equipment that you're running to fuss the pulse modulation, be sure to run the leads directly to the battery. Don't share the leads. So that would be a big help. And maybe an RF capacitor, of course, the leads would also help. Offhand, I don't think it's going to be a big problem. I don't think the radiation would be a problem either, because you've got big capacitors in there. The amount of UHF energy is not very much. So my guess it wouldn't be. It's not like a spark in an automobile where There's a lot of RF on it. Those pulse wouldn't have too much RF. Okay. I think that's about all my comments at the moment. KF2AD.
Alrighty. Well, you know, that's why I suggest that he test it first. You know, test it with a radio that's in proximity but not necessarily tied. It's not UHF. He wants to run 10 meters, and that's more of a concern to me. Alrighty. Anybody else with follow-ups to Noel's question? This is K2BAR.
KA2BDU.
Go ahead, Alman.
I think the simplest way is to use IPM.
IPM is what?
I pedal myself.
Good conceptual approach.
Only good if you had the muscle strength to do it.
So I think we've solved that mystery. Alrighty. Any further comments for Mr. Noel?
Oh, I suspect that my main noise source is going to be a DC motor with brushes. Back to that, KBR and 2OEL.
Thank you very well, may be right. Or as Billy Joel would say, you may be right, I may be crazy, but we won't go to the next line. In any case, who else has a comment for Mr. Noel?
Ben again. One more comment to Noel. The more I think about it, the more I think you certainly use the motor with a resistor for dumping the current in the resistor. That would work out pretty well. But using it for dynamic braking, I mean for feeding the battery with current from the motor, that has to be done, like I said, with extreme care, because you don't want to get in the position of suddenly throwing in the charging the battery with the motor running at its high speed, and you get let's say 30-35 volts coming out of that motor. Connected across a 12-volt battery, and that has to be given a lot of thought, because then you might do damage to your motor if you did that. It'd be a sudden slug of current, a very high magnetic field, and that might magnetize the field magnets in there, so besides doing damage to the motor, commutating both brushes, so you've got to be very, very careful there. It's KYD.
Very good. Well, thank you. That's excellent. Any other stations have comments for Noel? This is KTBAR. Alrighty. Well, kind of went through this pretty quickly. Before we go to Tony's comments, are there any other check-ins for the net? Please call KTBAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment or none of the above for the net.
Gordon, this is K2AMI, and many of the fellows on frequency have been on the other nets this week, but I just wanted to make an input in general to everybody that if they don't know, we now no longer have an operating station at the Red Cross building in Hackensack. As of yesterday, we had a crew of seven guys who went down and lowered the tower and removed from the porch top and from the building, and is now stored in the Barra garage. So the radio equipment and the tower, all the Barra equipment, is no longer in the Hackensack Red Cross facility. There is still a long-range projection that we may have a station installed in Ridgewood, but no definite details on when or where it will be placed. So there are things like SETs coming up and other emergency things. We will no longer be able to contribute to the Red Cross building in Hackensack as a Red Cross check-in station. This is what everybody should know, and if they don't know, didn't know before, they now know now. Back to net control.
Alrighty. Yeah, it's very important. And keeping this in mind, if we don't get some word from Jerry as to whether or not he's received his envelope, I think it's going to be somewhat moot as to what we're going to do that day, because the county radio officer receives all communications from the state, and whether or not that's going to happen is unclear, because Jerry's already told me that he plans to be at the Barry Hamfest on the DE team. So, again, I'm not so sure what's involved for us during the SCT. There's an in-county SCT, just for your reference, on the afternoon of November 1st. And we look forward to your participation. It'll be about 2 to 3 hours. We're actually going to muster up around noon or one, actually about one, pardon me. And then we're having an exercise. We'll be talking to you more about that at the Aries Net and meeting on the second, Monday of the month. And I look forward to your participation in that as well. That would be the 6th, the 13th. So that will actually follow the set. In any case, George sent me a note saying that the station was being taken down. It would be out of service. And I was already aware of that because Tony, you and others have kept me informed as to the progress of that over the last couple of weeks. All righty. Anybody else with questions, comments, confusions for Tony? And I think we have a K2ZO moment coming up. K2BAR. Is there a station there? Okie doke. K2ZO to be followed by W2JEK for a JEK moment. Care to talk about October 4th, gentlemen? This is K2BAR.
Okay. K2BAR. This is K2ZO. Okay, just want to remind everybody that October 4th is the day. Weather's going to be beautiful. We're going to have lots of fun, and it's going to be our ham fest. I think we've got lots of volunteers, but if indeed any of you would like to volunteer, please send me an email at k2zo@arrl.net. We need some folks there early in the morning, and of course we need the folks to work at the Barrett table, and just remind everybody that if you want to sell anything, please let me know so that we can decide how many tables we need to put out there for the Barrett table. I think we have a number of people bringing equipment to the table so we can, you know, tag it and sell it. It makes it a lot easier if you're working at the Hamfest or doing other things and want to wander around, that the folks who are manning the table will be able to take care of it. And that's about it. Just let's say we get some nice weather, and I think we'll have lots of fun. Back in it. K2ZO.
Mr. Don?
K2BAR and the net W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. Yeah, we're having the BE session at the Hamfest. Starts at 8 o'clock. Goes to 10 o'clock. After 10 o'clock, I will not start any further testing. So, run everybody in there and registered before the 10 o'clock hour, and hopefully try to make the 8 o'clock hour, get out of there early. We'll be in classroom 123 like we usually are, doorway into the hallway to the cafeteria and the restrooms. So, we'll be the first classroom there on the right. So if I have any questions, give me a yell. This is W2JEK.
Hey, Don, Jim, very good. And last but not least, we have a meeting, I believe, with a couple of October 5th. K2AMI, would you say a few words about that? And maybe even pass along an S2K sentiments from previous nets?
Did cut out the very beginning of your question, but I think you want to comment about the next Barrett meeting. And it's projected that the NOTT will once again present some information on the 12-point-defined radio, and he's going to concentrate on the little $11 type PC board with two surface mounts and something you can hook up to your sound card and actually receive not the big $50 type board, the smaller one. And the intention is to get people interested enough to maybe build them a kit knife. Perhaps we'll get a couple of guys building them and they can help each other and then progress. With anybody who wants to go beyond that at their own expense, of course, all these are at your own expense. And Farrah will pay a portion of it if it's a kit, up to $100. So it's a matter of getting interested in software-defined radios from the very basic receiver type. That fit into what you commented about, did, Gordon?
That was that at the upcoming meeting there'll be nominations, and the nominations committee is looking for people who, A, want to volunteer for positions, and also for people who, would like to nominate somebody for positions. Contact NSK, or I don't know who else is on his committee, but Jim would like to hear from you. November CRT Kilo at AWRL.net will work fine. If you want to either volunteer your services or volunteer somebody else. And I believe, by definition, we have an opening for president because Steve is term limited. There are others, I'm sure, who might want to fill that role. There might be people interested in other positions as well. I believe the standard procedure is for the nominations committee to come up with a slate based on its judgment. However, nominations from the floor will also be accepted. The elections will be at the November meeting, if I recall. But they do want to kind of button up the nominations, the nominations committee work in time for this coming meeting, so that it's all square. There's also one director position, or trustee, I forget what they call it, position open as well. And that's something to consider as well. So, in any case, I don't know. I mean, technically, there's also a secretary and a treasurer position. Anyone wants to volunteer for those roles, I'm sure they'd be entertained, but again, speak to the nominations committee with your ideas. So I think that's it for me on that one. Anyone want to comment on that?
KC2SGS.
Jeff, go ahead.
The other person for the nominating committee is Rob, KC2ORX.
What's happening as the radio heats up, and I'm letting my engine idle here, and I'm not running up the engine, so that, my voltage is dropping. That's what's happening here. So anybody else have questions, comments, confusions, please call K2BAR.
K2AMI with just a general statement in that all positions are available at any time with elections. Anybody can be nominated for any position. We just need volunteers, even though some of the current offices may continue to run, they also will be up for election, so don't hesitate if you think you can do a job. Thank you.
Other clubs, we don't have a provision for emperor for life. Alrighty, very good. That was a good point, Tony. Anybody else? K2BAR, questions, comments, confusions? For checking in the net tonight. It's been a little short tonight, but no big deal. I want to get inside, and my oldest son has some news for us. I want to find out what it is. So it's a good thing. I took my one son to soccer practice, and away we go, and then we're back home, and then that's all done too. So I'd like to thank KO2OK, KC2SGF, KC2PYB, K2ZO, K2AMI, K2BDU, KF2ID, KC2SAV, KC2SQP, W2JEK, KC2PDV, N2OEL, and this is W2TTT, Gordon, for K2BAR, returning the repeater to normal amateur use, and thanking the Bergen County FM Association for the use of their repeater. Godspeed, and we'll chat with you later, boys, girls. Thank you very much.